But I talk about there first. Talk about absolutely but not absolute. Now, before I begin to share into that, the series has been on being an overcomer. If you read the book of Revelation, you know, there are a lot of things in Revelation that we don't read because we don't understand. But the first few chapters, first three chapters at least, deals with the churches. And to all the churches, he ends with this statement, to him who overcomes. To him who overcomes. Seven times to the seven churches, the message is the same. God has a reward for the overcomer. Sometime earlier, you know, a few months ago, a couple of months ago, my wife bought me a Fitbit. And a Fitbit helps us to, you know, not only challenge one another, but to help us to know how many steps a day we take. And so she said, you got to set how many steps you're going to take a day. They say every person has got to take at least 10,000 steps a day. All right. So she said, put 8,000 because that's within your limit. Okay. So I put down 8,000. You know, when I started to walk, because I usually walk and now I've got a Fitbit. So when I started to walk, I put 8,000. All right. So I got to keep walking. And so for the first time, after about 10 minutes, you check. Then it says 700 steps. And you go, dear Lord, another 7,000 over steps. How am I going to last this one, man? You carry on walking and then you, after a little while, and then, like now, I will check again. And then it'll tell me, oh man, 1,200. And then you go on, and every now and then I was checking and checking. For a few days, that's all I ever did. I'm supposed to be walking and praying, but instead of doing that, I'm checking to see how many steps. Before that, I just walked and prayed. I didn't know how many steps I took. But now I'm checking. I'm checking. I'm checking. Then I realized, hey, this is very discouraging. So I decided, okay, I'll do my usual prayer time, maybe an hour or an hour and a half. You know, I'll just walk and walk and walk and walk. So I keep walking, man. I don't check. I don't check. I don't check. Then suddenly, this thing starts to vibrate. I wonder what's it. First time I felt the vibration, man. I quickly checked it. There are stars shooting up. You have reached your goal. Oh, man. Lines come up. Oh, I felt like a champion. And I thought to myself, okay, you know what? I'm going to beat this thing. So I decided not to check. Then now, when it vibrates, I'm going to beat that. I'm not going to look at the vibration anymore. I'm just going to keep on walking. Now I do like 12, 15,000 to 20,000 steps. And then it shoots up, man. You are an overachiever. I tell you, I get more encouragement from my Fitbit than from all of you. You are an overachiever. I mean, if this was a Christian Fitbit, it would go, hallelujah! You are an overcomer. You know, when I look at that, man, I feel good. I achieved it. And so it forces me to go even further. And that's what God wants to do. God wants to simply tell you, you can be an overcomer. Not just reach your goals. Not just live your life and say, phew, made it through the day. God wants us to be an overcomer. Where it will say on your hearts, hallelujah, you are an overachiever. Sometimes, in fact, many times when I reach, you know, about 15, 20,000, 18,000, they give me a cup. I wish I could take it and hold it. But when I see it on this little thing, on the phone, man, I feel like a real champion because I never won anything in life anyway. So this really, I sports, man, I was always second last. But long distance running, you know, I love cross country. I used to love stuff like that. Never really won, but it was fun. But to be an overcomer, you have done it. That's what God wants to place in all our hearts. Amen? Now, before we do anything else, I'd like us to watch this. You know of America Has Got Talent. This is Switzerland Got Talent. Some of you have seen this. Can you see it? Two bright lights. Thank you. All right, the one I sent had subtitles. And it says, oh, now we feel like fools. Now we feel like fools. All right. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. You'll be wondering, what has that got to do with the message? I'll share it a little bit. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 28. All right, everybody got Bibles? Fine, but let's read the one up there. Can everybody see it? Okay? Can we read the word together? Remember, we're supposed to declare into the atmosphere the word of God. Okay, so let's do it together. In the same way, the Spirit also joins to help in our weakness, because we do not know. Stop there for a while. We do not know what to pray for as we should. But the Spirit Himself intercedes with us, or for us, with unspoken groanings. For He who searches the hearts knows the Spirit's mindset, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. We know, one more time everybody, we know that all things work together for the good of those who love God, those who are called according to His purpose. May the Lord add His blessing to the word. John MacArthur once said this. He said, Romans 8:28 is breathtaking in its magnitude, encompassing absolutely everything that pertains to a believer's life. This is a tremendous verse. It is actually the bedrock upon which we stand. When I begin to understand that everything is working out for my good, this becomes a solid foundation on which I can stand. Storms may come by my way. Different things can come. There may be tremors and earthquakes or whatever you have. But when I know that God will work everything for my good, then everything begins to change. My life is built on a solid rock. Amen. We sing that song. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Amen. So we understand that. But this morning, as we look at this, I want to share a few truths together. First of all, let's look at this. It offers us a promise that is certain, first of all. This is a certain promise. It begins with, for we know. Just these two words, we know. Come on. We know beyond knowing. No, there is a difference between knowing up here and knowing down here. When we come together like this, it is the purpose of the Holy Spirit that He ministers to your spirit man. That you go out knowing inside here, not being informed by something, not having some knowledge up here. Because the scribes and Pharisees who memorize the scriptures, they memorize their word, yet Jesus said to them, you do not know the scriptures or the power of God. Which meant that they had a knowledge up here, but they didn't have a knowing in what many people refer to as their knower. This is the place where we know. This is what educates this. This tells me that Jesus Christ is real. This tells me that I am born again. Not this. This one does not feel, but this feels, this knows inside. Nobody can unconvince me that I am a child of God. God has done something inside of my spirit that will carry me right into eternity. I know that I know that I know. Come on. Amen. So, what do we know? A couple of things that God reveals Himself as, and it covers everything. We must know the one who is working all things for our good. We know that God is light, which simply means that there is no hidden agenda when God is doing something with us. God is absolutely clear as to what He is doing. He sees everything clearly. There is no shadow of turning, the Bible says. There is no darkness in Him at all. So whatever God is doing, He is, and that light causes all the darkness in my life to leave. Because He is light and He sees things clearly, the darkness in my own heart can leave. Come on, amen. For God knows what He is doing. We also, God reveals Himself as a God who is a God of love. God is love. God is not just loving. God is the embodiment of love. Every part of Him is love. The promise of Jesus is to the world. For God so loved people that we have problems dealing with, accepting people, you know, that we consider to be terrible sinners, and people who are, you know, in our own minds are bad. We begin to say, how could these people do this? How could those people do that? You know, how can they allow these kind of things to happen? I mean, we've got all kinds of ideas about the world, but God clearly declares, God so loved the world. I mean, His love is unbelievable. And that love encompasses just about everyone. So this God is the one we know, we know, we know, we know. But at the same time, we also have the scripture in verse 26. It says what? For we do not know. When he talks about our prayer life, he says we do not know how to pray like we ought to pray. In other words, he's saying there are so many details that's taking place in your life that you don't really know. God knows what's taking place, but we do not know. The judges that we watched just now are all supposed to be very good judges. But when the girl began to do her painting, they did not know what the outcome would be. In fact, while she was painting, I don't know whether you realize, she painted two of them, right? Painted the first guy with the old man, and then when she turned it around, it was the young guy. So she painted two at the same time. But they didn't see the entire picture. All they saw was whatever she was doing. And they drew their conclusions from what they simply saw. Oh man, I left my phone in the car. But I want to read to you something that somebody sent me. You know, when Jacob looked at his son Joseph, he saw a good son. When the slave driver, the brothers looked at Joseph and saw a dreamer. The slave drivers, when they came, they saw a slave. Potiphar's wife saw a future boyfriend. Potiphar saw a good worker, but the guy tried to be fresh with my wife, put him in prison. The prison warden saw a wonderful prisoner, and he led by example, made him an officer. But God looked behind the scene, and he saw a prime minister in waiting. Everyone looked at the same person, but they saw something different. And it is the same with us. We look at something and we come to our own conclusion. We say, well, I don't understand why this is happening. But we know that God is working behind the scenes. Can I hear an amen? What he's simply saying to us is, I want you to know that I have got absolute control. Matthew 28, go ye into all the world. People call that the Great Commission. I call it the Great Promise. Because just before he says this, he makes a statement. All power, all authority is given to me in heaven, come on, and on earth. Therefore, it doesn't start with go into all the world. It goes, therefore. Why is therefore, therefore? Telling us what happened previously. He promised us, because all power is given to Him, we can go anywhere in the world and we will succeed. That's what He's saying. Why? Because no one has the authority over our lives anymore. And if there is any authority that people exercise, it is because God allows them to have authority. Pilate said to Jesus, don't you know I have the authority to do certain things to you? And Jesus said to Pilate, you only have the authority that my Father has given to you. He was an unbeliever. Now, if God gives unbelievers power to do things, don't you think He gives us power to do things as well? Come on, amen. Huh? Amen. This promise is comprehensive. Two words again. Firstly, it was the blockbuster. We know. See, there are many things that we know. We know that God is good all of the time. When we say, God is good, everybody responds all the time. But do we know that we know that God is good? We know that God wants to be personal. We know that we have a personal relationship with God. Come on. A corporate relationship with God. Hallelujah. We know that God is good. His intentions are good. What His plans are good. We know these things. But unfortunately, we have got to let it sink down at least 14 inches from the head to the heart. And then it becomes, I just know God is involved in this. He is a good God. No matter what, you know, may God bring us to a place like Job where we can honestly say, though God slay me, yet will I trust Him. And Job was not spirit-filled, man. He didn't have the Spirit of God inside of him. He didn't have the Word of God. He didn't have all the benefits that you and I have as believers of the New Covenant. And yet he said, even though God slay me, body wrecked with disease, children are dead, business gone bankrupt, wife cursing him. He says, even if God slays me, I will still trust God. So he comes out a greater person than ever before. This is very comprehensive as well. That all things work together for good. Amen? It's not just something. It is all things. When God says all things, it is. Like often we tease people. Which part of all things do you not understand? When God says it is all things, it means all things. Even what the enemy intends for bad, God can turn it around for good. Why? Because we are His. One of the scriptures that we often quote and yet we don't really understand is this. If you being evil know how to give good gifts, how much, come on, more. We look after our children. We make sure our children don't run around with a pencil in their hands, lest they poke their eyes. We make sure that things are taken out of the way. We say, put your toys aside, otherwise you will fall or grandpa will fall. We want to keep harm out of our children's way. We make sure they try to make the right decisions in life. We are so careful about them. How much more? So when He says all things, we don't understand how this can work around, you know. Here is Joseph, he's lying in a pit wondering, I had a dream. I mean, you know, I have a dream. What happened to my dream? Joseph the dreamer. That's what you are. You're just a dreamer. Look at you now. Where's your dream? Slaves come, take him away. Where's your dream? Die, man. You are now a slave in a foreign country. I just trust you, God. I don't understand what's happening, but I trust you. All things work together for good. Isaiah says this. Can we read this together? Let's go. Isaiah 46 verse 9 through 15. At least you can say to God, I read the Bible. All right, let's read it out together. Let's go. Remember what happened long ago, for I am God and there is no other. Amen? I am God and no one is like me. I declare the end from the beginning and from long ago what is not yet done, saying, my plan will take place and I will do all my will. Yes, I have spoken, so I will also bring it about. I have planned it. I will also do it. The plans and the purposes God has for you will be carried out. He who began a good work in you, all things, amen, all things. However, this promise is complex. Here's another two words. Work together. Synergio is the Greek word for it, where you get the word synergize. And this is what it basically means. It means the working together of various elements to produce an effect greater than and often completely from the sum of each element acting separately. Two poisonous substances, sodium, chloride. Each on its own is poisonous. Bring them together and you have table salt. Right? On its own, it is poisonous. So we want to eat bak kut teh. Go down, look for good pork ribs, good for good samjang. Get it all together. And then we begin to coriander, the herbs, coriander, fennel seeds, cloves. Come on. Huh? Not hers, but some of the different things that you put. Star anise, whatever. Put it together, put mushrooms inside. Boy, 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 boy. If you want to cook a nice mutton curry for Brother Gore, then you put in all the seeds for the curry. You got cumin, you got coriander, you got what, cloves, you got all the seeds, man. Cinnamon, you got, put them all together. Turmeric. And then, what do you do after that? Put them in the pot. And then, you let it simmer. Lah. You got to let it simmer for some time. And then slowly, you know, it will be, don't stir so much. Just a little bit, you begin to just let it simmer. Simmer, simmer a little bit. You know, my neighbor 3 doors away from Chiku, I tell you, I also can smell. But you must let it simmer. But taking each ingredient by itself is terrible. But when they put it together and synergize. So God, in wanting us to produce that savor, oh, when we smell that curry, man. The way I'm talking now, Brother God, you can see his mouth all watering, he's wiping, taking tissue and water. Huh? Mala there is taking notes. Sarah Moses there is banging her head saying, what kind of curry like he's cooking? But the aroma that it produces when a meal is cooked. So God, in order to produce something wonderful from our lives, he takes the bitter ingredients and the better ingredients, and he puts them all together, and he mixes it, and puts us in hot water. And when that hot water begins to boil, man, we don't know what's happening. Why are you doing this to me? We go through it and we begin to wonder, what is God really doing? But it's the plan of a loving, compassionate God wanting us to be the savor of Christ, it says, so that we can be pleasant to people as well. A life that has gone through hard times, times that we don't understand, we battle with, we don't like that stuff. All we like, I mean, Kong Seng here will tell you, Pastor, you like a lot of sweets, huh? My weakness is chocolate sweets and ice cream. I can live on that, man. But then we got to have the other things. Earlier when, you know, starting in the ministry and all that, I used to cough quite a lot, do a lot of cough. My goodness, man. The kind of bitter herbs my mother-in-law served me. It's a wonder my hair didn't turn curly. They say, you know, even blind people can open their eyes. You take them and you go, oh, man. Sometimes she wants to help me and I don't know she wants to help me. She puts a couple of rock sugar there. In other words, I'm supposed to put rock sugar in. How do I know that I'm supposed to put rock sugar in? She just put there, and when my mother-in-law says drink, I better drink. Cool down. And later on she tells Salifan, wow, he's very good. Huh? He can drink all without the sugar. How do I know, man? If it's good for me, all right, I'll just gobble it down. One gulp down, you know, like, yeah, I'm saying, oh, God. Mm. But we need the ingredients to make us, to present us as a better savor unto Christ. It's a complex thing. God wants to synergize everything. He's working it for good. We cannot see it, but He's putting the ingredients together. I don't understand why this must come in. I don't understand. But God knows what He is doing. Amen. This promise is also very comforting because it says it works together for good. God is working all things for my good. James tells us this. Can we read the scripture together? Come on. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights. Every good gift, every perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. You know, we actually face an embarrassment of riches. We are so rich. If you don't believe me, I mean, just wake up in the morning, take a pencil and a paper, and write down every good thing that you have. Do you know this lights that we have is a blessing? Thank God you don't have to get up, go light a candle somewhere. Thank God you can get you are getting out of a thing called a bed. And you had a pillow. And you reach for that little thing called a thing, and you turn off the aircon. And then you walk to a place that you call the bathroom. And you go and lift up a little thing called the toilet seat. And you sit comfortably. Then you reach out your little finger and push a button and whoosh. And then you turn on this thing called a tap and water comes up. Do you know how many people have that in the world? You got this thing called a toothbrush. You've got toothpaste. I mean, all these little things. We are loaded with an embarrassment of riches. We are blessed. And then on top of that, we've got family. We've got friends. We've got automobiles. We've got nice roads, man. We went up to Penang, Taiping, Ipoh. My wife and I are just saying, you know, this is so wonderful. I drove from Penang to KL. Thank God it's not holidays. 3.5 hours. 110, 90. Seriously? You don't believe me? You're looking like, I know. No. Seriously. 110. I just said it on cruise. I don't want to get caught for speeding, man. Ran out of money already. 110. Just cruising. No traffic, nothing. I mean, got traffic, but flow. Beautiful roads. Huh? I mean, we are just around. And then we've got a great church. Wonderful friends in cell group. Nice, bald-headed, handsome preacher. Preacher's a good word, too. I had to say that, otherwise you think it's me. I mean, come on. We are so blessed. And you know what the problem is? The problem is because we are so blessed with all these wonderful pleasantries that when something unpleasant comes by our way, we go, why me? Something like a traffic jam. Come on. Something like a visit to Kong Seng's office. Why me, Lord? Something that is just out of the way, that does not please us, we start to complain. I went to this restaurant. The food's so terrible. Hey, you went to a restaurant. People waiting outside the restaurant for you to throw the food so that they can pick up. Hello? Every good and perfect gifts. God help us. Have you ever met a girl, you know, and the girl is telling you, this guy proposed to me finally. Have you ever heard her say, why me? Or some guy go, you know, Pastor, I don't understand. No, my boss gave me promotion. Why me? I got a brand new car. Why me? I moved into a new house. Why me? Do you ever hear people say that? No. They just take it in their stride, man. It's all part of the blessing that we often feel that we deserve. Here's the painful question. Considering the kind of life I am living, whether in obedience or disobedience to God, considering the life that you are living right now, the life that I am living, Do I really deserve all these blessings? That's the question we ought to ask ourselves. Just consider that for a while. The kind of life I'm living, and I know how I should be living as a believer and how I'm living now. Do I really deserve all these blessings that God has poured out on me? Last of all, this promise is conditional. To those who love God, called according to His purpose, all things will work together for the good of those who love God. That's the human angle. My response towards God. Do I love God? I shared with you that scripture. We being evil know how to give good gifts. How much more God? So love has to tie in with giving, isn't it? There's a difference between love and lust. Do I love God or do I lust God? Love is the desire to bless the other one at the expense of myself. So I sacrifice for my family. I make sure that they all have a proper meal, even if I don't have. Why? Because I love them. God so loved at His own expense sent His Son. That's love. Lust is the desire to please myself at the expense of someone else. So I can lust my boss. Children can lust their parents. In other words, I want to get whatever I can get from you. We can lust one another in a relationship. As long as you please me, everything is fine. Rather than, oh, what can I do to please you? Come on. So that's why God loves. God does not lust. We can lust the church. The church is not giving me anything. Never feed me. Never do this. Never do that. The church should be doing other things for us. But if you love the church, then you are asking the question, what can I do? Come on. Do you love the church? If you love the church, what can I do to contribute towards the church? I'm not talking just financially. Later on, we'll be asking for volunteers in the church. Help us to do different things so that we can make the church a better place. This is our family. Get involved in it. If I love, it's not, why they never feed me? Why they never greet me? Why they never do this? It is more like, what can I do, man, to make this place a better place? Come on, church. Yeah. Hallelujah. The human angle is, do I love God enough? Sometimes people say, oh, you know, it's very difficult. I stay so far. It's not how far you stay from God. How far you stay from the church is how close you stay to God. The divine angle is called according to His purpose. In other words, God doesn't want us to just sit around and just hang around doing nothing. He wants us to be involved in His purpose. In all of this, if you forget everything else, here is the point. Knowing God really loves us, we still fight and battle with doubts. Come on. We battle through different things when we are going through hard times. Is that true? Huh? We cannot understand a lot of things. Why is this happening? Why is that happening? Now, with that in mind, I'd like you to watch a video. Can we turn down the lights? I'm going to close with this. A young man sharing his frustrations in all of this, right? A young man sharing his frustrations. So I want you to watch this. Doubt your doubts. You're going through difficult times. God's word still stands the same. All things work together for your good. You do not understand what is happening. But you must always have this inside your heart. God, you are behind it all the way. You are in absolute control. It does not, I cannot understand it. That's why the Bible says, lean not to your own understanding. But in all your ways, acknowledge God. Let's stand together, shall we? Just stand together.